And our special guest tonight, Daryl Sims, the alien hunter. And we'll be back with Daryl in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Daryl, why don't you tell us a little bit, too, about these spheres, the picture of which you've sent us on the coasttocoastam.com website.
Surely. The spheres that you see on the site there, there are two of them. these are two of four that were found in a little girl's nose by her mother, whose mother caused her to sneeze into the Kleenex and found the four little spheres. First four she found about a week or two before she, of course, lost. The spheres were sent to York University, and when they were sent to York University, they were under the care of Dr. Nick Balakas, who has been very helpful there with us and a wonderful professor. And what they basically found, the spheres were turned over to a tenured professor who studied the objects, and to him, he took the most logical course, in my view, and that was to simply disprove them. The best way he thought he would do that would be to manufacture the same thing, discover what they're made out of, and then manufacture them himself. If you can reproduce it, then it's probably not alien. I would agree with that.
Sure.
So this is why I like these type people who are not on our team, so to speak. They're just independent and have no axe to grind whatsoever. So he tries to. First of all, he finds out that they're 51% silver and 49% gold. The second thing he finds is that the surface configuration, he thinks that he should be able to match. He manufactures, gets his gold and silver concentrations correct, and begins to attempt to manufacture the objects. And to his surprise, he is not able to manufacture the same surface. He was a bit puzzled as to why he wasn't able to do that. Now, one of the suggestions might be the purpose of something like this would be to hold something like a medication or some other substance, because, again, a lot of things we look at with abductees, we find a number of them that have been tested, usually inadvertently, find out that they have low levels of or altered levels of serotonin, dopamine,
Now, but these spheres, though, Daryl, were they were solid or
they're solid spheres?
So there's nothing inside of them, no technology, nothing. No circuitry, nothing like that.
When I spoke to the 250 surgeons, I told them I gave them four distinct things that we would find if these objects are alien. The first thing I said we will find is no technology in any of these alleged implants. I said, in my opinion, we will eventually find some type of technology. When we do, we will find it is human. The implants themselves will not have a technology. This is where almost everyone has gone completely wrong on their wild theories of what the implants are.
Now, wait a minute. You said that they were human?
If we find implants that have technology, and we have, in our opinion, what we are looking at is a human implant.
Like a black ops program?
Very, very possibly.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. But if you find, then, implants that have no appearance of technology, you can conclude that they may be alien?
My guess would be far, far closer to that if, in fact, we're still dealing with the same symptomology, that these people fit the same categories.
But they've got to have some kind of technology. What's the purpose of putting them in somebody?
Agreed. Your thinking is so rational and so reasonable, but the fact is that these entities are not like what we think. They don't think like us, they don't act like us, and they don't do things. The mere fact that they're doing so-called genetic testing is an example. Any geneticist who studies this phenomena will tell you it doesn't make any sense. You don't need 4 million genetic samples to figure out what's going on. You just don't.
There's got to be another reason, then.
There's obviously something else going on that's far different than what we think.
Yes. I have always thought, Daryl, that they may be, if this is going on, that they may be genetically altering us for some future climate change that they want the human species to be ready for, or they need it for themselves. They're taking these fetuses, maybe by the millions, and they're just growing them on their own planets or in their spaceships for some other purpose.
Well, I think two things. One is, if you want to, we'll go into that, the fetus business, here in just a moment, because we've got some good solid evidence that, in fact, that may be going on. And when I say that, I don't mean some lady claimed that she lost a fetus or this sort of thing, but simply that we actually have sonograms of a fetus that appears not to be human.
Is there, let's talk about that. I was going to ask you where you think these beings are coming from, but there's a sonogram that appears that this fetus is not human?
Well, I'll back up a little bit. The story was given to me by another investigator some time ago, and he told me the story, and I said, well, that sounds interesting. Why do I need to believe in this story? Why do I think this is pertinent or relevant? And he said, I said, there are many of these stories where women claim these events, and I said, and the logical conclusion of many of these alleged artificial insemination cases are, because there's a missing fetus, that there, in fact, never was a fetus, and they made it up, or just it didn't happen. That's one of the conclusions that they'll often come up with, doctors who hear this sort of thing. The second idea is that a spontaneous absorption occurred, and therefore the fetus was simply absorbed, or there was a spontaneous abortion, or in fact there was an abortion, and that's really the problem. Those answers sound
possible,
and there's certainly nothing wrong with exploring those. The difficulty is that we have a series of cases that simply don't fit this. Now I'll give you some examples here. This particular one, the guy said, well, he said, here's the story he told me, and I said, well, it sounds very similar, so is there any evidence? He said, actually, there is. And he showed me the sonograms. And I took the sonograms to London on one of my world tours every year when I go speaking around north or south or wherever. This year it'll be back into Europe. And I took it to a hospital that specializes in children, pediatric hospital, and I asked the doctor there, I said, I have some sonograms that I would like for you to review. They're from America. It's not an insurance case. I just want you to look at them and tell me if everything's okay.
Just curious.
That's all. I gave them no hints of anything. I laid them out, and the doctor says, may I bring a consult? And I said, please do. And she brings in this other doctor, and they're both looking at them. They lay them out in the order they feel they should be. And she says, this is not right. And I said, what's not right? She says, these sonograms sonograms are never taken of a fetus in this way. And I said, what do you mean? Her response was, and the other doctor concluded, that whoever took these sonograms was not interested in the fetal development of the fetus at all. I said, okay. Now that that's established, could you tell me in those pictures, based on what
you see,
you think is occurring, do you see anything that they might have been looking for? And you hear this, oh, my God, what a strange little head. Large, bulbous head with a long, pointed chin. I've never seen one like that. I said, doctor, could you tell me some medical possibility that might account for the shape of the head and the long pointed chin?
If it's deformed, right?
And she says, well, possibly hydrocephalus, but I've never seen one like that. And I said, well, my sister actually died of hydrocephalus, and she didn't look like that at all. I said, thank you for your input, and I appreciate it. And then I took the sonograms back to America.
Now, who took the sonograms?
That's one of the strangest stories. Well, it gets weird. And anybody that thinks I'm going to sit here and defend the how unweird the UFO stuff is, I will not. It's the weirdest stuff I've ever experienced in my life. It just gets weirder out there. So that's why you have to have a baseline of evidence.
And when's this baby due?
Here's the reason I had a problem with the story. Lady claimed that she got pregnant artificially inseminated by this entity.
Okay.
And then she goes to get, she meets someone who directs her to an abortion clinic. She makes arrangement at the abortion clinic to get to do an abortion. And then she thinks about it for a while and waits and waits and waits until it's really too late to do that. And she goes in and she's a little premature. She goes in and they say, well, no problem. We'll go ahead and take the child. And she says, no, I've decided to keep it. And at that point, they knock her out, and she wakes up and is apparently escorted home or wherever, and the fetus is gone. She claims that they took the fetus alive, whoever did it.
Wherever she
goes
went.
Back to, whenever she's capable, she goes back to the clinic and finds that the building is, I mean, this is just something by all the X-Files. She goes back to the clinic, and there's this brick building there, just exactly like she had seen before, and it's empty.
Like they packed up and
went. Exactly. Well, that's why I didn't believe the story. To me, that just sounded too, like she watched too many movies.
Pretty, it's a little far off.
When she produced the sonograms, that was good. And the reason where they messed up, whoever did this, is that they sent her, instead of doing the sonograms in-house, they sent her to a place that did sonograms, and the goof actually gave them back to her as a mistake, and he didn't know that she wasn't supposed to get them, and that's how she got them.
Oh, my.
And that's how I got them.
Okay, and you still have them in your possession?
Well, that's yes, but the story gets better because in the second case that I have concerning the same type phenomena,
right?
We don't have a case like that at all. What we have is, in fact, a... for lack of a better, God, this gets so weird. A lady who meets me at a conference, and she says...
she comes up to you.
She comes up to me, and I'm with Bud Hopkins, and we're going out to dinner, and this elderly lady says, Mr. Sims, would you please work with me? And I said, young lady, I'm going out to eat with Bud, blah, blah, blah. And I've never turned anybody down for help, and I don't charge them a penny for anything we do. Everything we do is free. I mean, everything, even the surgeries. Everything I do is free. There is no money into this.
Right. But you've got plans. The night is almost over, so you're going out to dinner with Bud.
So we do. I said, fill out these long forms, and if you're here when I get back, I'll work with you.
Right.
I get back by 11:30, and there she is.
Still there, waiting.
And so I took her to my room. I said, okay, let's sit down and talk. She said, I'm a surgical nurse, have been for 35 years. And I said, okay. She said, I'm retired. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I had this weird, strange dream years ago, quite a while ago. And now, quite a while ago, she said, I'm kind of from the old school, so we did things different. I said, okay. She said, my husband and I had decided at this time that I was going to quit my nursing job and raise a family. He was going to work and support the family and do all that. And we weren't going to have sex for this period of time. And because I didn't want to have a kid until I finished got my stuff out of the way.
She,
and I
said, she okay. was really playing it safe, right?
So she's very, very tough lady. So I said, okay, fine. And she says, well, I woke up a few nights later and there's semen all over my stomach. And I see these small people in the room, and I'm very disoriented. I can't think well. And finally, when I get my wits about me, I realize that my husband must have done this. So she said, I wake up, I start slapping him, and he thinks I'm totally insane. I'm just slapping and beating him. And I tell him all kinds of things about himself and, how inappropriate that whole deal was. Long story short is they divorce. He thinks she must be nuts because she's beating on him, and she thinks he betrayed her.
So this episode creates the collapse of their marriage.
She goes to a hypnotist. Hypnotist gets so far up to the point where she remembers, and he can't get any further. And she says, can you do anything with that? And I said, well, actually, I can. I said, I know how these entities think. I've studied them for over 38 years, and I have a good sense of how they actually think and how their system of whatever you want to call it, logic, if that's it, works. And I said, actually, it's a block that they've installed. You've either seen something or heard something or something's happened that you probably shouldn't have seen. She said, well, he wasn't able to get past it. I said, well, I can do that quite easily. And I said, I don't like doing this because we don't do hypnosis at the beginning of a case. If we do it at all, it's at the end of the case when it's finished. But I said, I want to ask you a few other questions before we decide to do anything. She said, sure. And I said, well, let's talk for a minute. I said, so what happened? She said, well, I got pregnant. What do you expect? And I said, hey, don't bite my head off. I'm just asking questions here. And I'm going to be a little blunt with you. She says, okay. I said, so you got pregnant and the first trimester, the fetus was gone. And she looked at me. You got to understand, she has no knowledge of the UFO field at all.
Okay.
She says, why are you saying that? I said, oh, okay. So the second trimester, the fetus is missing. She says, again, why are you saying that? I said, okay, why don't I just be quiet and let you tell your story? She says, that would be good. She said, I had a child, just like you would with any pregnancy. I said, oh, my goodness. Are you telling me that whatever happened that night with your husband or whomever, you became pregnant and had the child came to term? She said, yes. I said, was there anything unusual about the birth of your child? She said, oh, Mr. Sims says, my son looked like a human grasshopper when he was born.
A human grasshopper?
She said, I've been a surgical nurse for 35 years, and I've never seen anything like it. And I've seen just about everything you can see. And she says, now, he's normal now. She says, but when he was first born, he was the strangest looking thing I ever saw. And I said, has he had a lot of difficulty growing up? She said, you have no idea. And I said, is there any way I could get a DNA sample from your son and
yeah.
you?
and maybe a baby picture?
anyway, she said, I've got some of this already. And she says, okay. She says, what do you want to find? I said, well, first of all, I said, let me tell you what I think we're going to find if the story, if it pans out to be true and it does not impugn your integrity. It means if we can prove this up in a reasonably medical or scientific way. And I said, the grounds for that are different than just normal beliefs. She says, okay. And I said, first, I think what we will find if maybe not your case, but in one of these cases that I've got several like this. I think what we're going to find is that the daddy is not the daddy, but that's not going to surprise anyone. They're going to simply say you slept with someone. She said, well, I didn't. And I said, I understand that. Don't get me. I'm just telling you the way it's going to be.
You're just the messenger.
Second thing is, I think once we do a DNA test with dad and the kid and you and everybody else or one of these cases I've got, I said, I think we're going to find that the mommy's not the mommy either.
And that blew her mind.
She says, what does that mean? I said, well, what that means is there's just no way to fake this now. It's too late, you know. I said, it seems to me that what we're going to find in some of these cases that this is going to be it. Of course, what I didn't tell her is that in a lot of these cases, in abductions, these people, men and women, both report being sexually abused and sperm and or eggs taken. And the question one has to ask at some point is, if those stories are true and are taking the stuff back to the milk factory, so to speak, number one, where's the milk factory? And number two, what are they doing to the milk?
Mm-hmm.
And there again, when you come up with these ladies who are abductees with these artificial inseminations, it makes you wonder. So everybody says, well, there's alien hybrids. Well, I doubt it. In vast majority of these cases, they're going to be 100% human. The issue is, they're going to be a little different. And the difference, I think, is going to be the fact it's not going to be yours or your husband's.
He had a baby that looked like a human grasshopper. We'll be back with more with Daryl Sims in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And our guest, Daryl Sims, next hour, will open up the phone lines for you. But when we come back, much more to talk about. I'm still astounded by this kid who looked like a human grasshopper. Daryl, it sounds like you haven't decided where these beans may be coming from or what they're up to yet. Is that pretty accurate?
I think that is a fair assessment.
Have you speculated on where you think they're coming or what their agenda is?
Well, yes, sir, I kind of have. The speculation, obviously, I cannot be certain because to do that, you got to catch him with his driver's license, so to speak, and that hasn't happened recently, so I'm kind of out of business there.
Or stop them from speeding.
The fact is that that's an interesting statement you should make there, George. You're quite acute in your thinking. The fact is we've developed some techniques to, in our opinion, that may help us stop him, so to speak. I'm not, first of all, convinced that, well, I first of all know that they're deceptive, they're cunning, and I know that they obey a mid-level management overseer group, which, in my opinion, are the custodians of that whole mentality. The little entities themselves, in my opinion, based on, and there again, this is based on some very personal, very conscious, I was there, in your face type situations, wide awake, not asleep, hunting, this sort of thing. Events so that I could, I have a bit of a sense, I think, that if my information is accurate, that these entities are in fact not much more. And some people are not going to like this statement. To me, they're just nothing but a cosmic toaster.
How so?
And by that I mean, I mean this not in a demeaning way, but what I mean is that these entities are they basically have they're like a 286 computer with legs. They don't make decisions themselves. They have often, when people have confronted them, and told them to do something or done something inappropriate that was outside the range of being under their control, they freak out completely and don't know what to do. I mean, it literally is just a cosmic toaster. It's an alien appliance. It literally is a manufactured or cloned or in some other way brought thing to between us and whoever they are. That's my best answer to who they are, so to speak. A 286 computer with legs that has an artificial intelligence agent, and that's what he is, for those who said him.
Might they be in their image?
I don't think so. And again, I don't know. I'm just telling you what my sense is after working 38 years with these entities up close and through hundreds and hundreds, well over 1,000 really, people worldwide, what I basically have come to the conclusion to is that these entities do not tell the truth. I was in the Central Intelligence Agency for 2 years when I volunteered during the Vietnam War. I went in the United States Army and was sheep-dipped or taken out of the Army and placed in the Central Intelligence Agency. They do that with certain people for various operations that they do.
Well, now we know they didn't tell the truth all the time.
No, that's my whole point. How I figured out that the aliens functioned like an intelligence community. It's when I learned how the intelligence community functioned, I noticed that there was an amazing likeness. Basically, in the intelligence community, or in any intelligence community, it's not just them, it's any intelligence community, they lied, and they lied consistently. And the reason they did that was for one of two reasons. One is that you had something to hide, obviously, and we did. That's the nature of intelligence. And second, that if, in fact, what we had was found out, such as the landing premature information that the enemy should find out we're landing at at Normandy, as an example, that could obviously compromise what we had. So you have to create disinformation and things like that. But the alien does the same thing. And of course, my overwhelming question was over and over, why? If you're so superior and you're so this and so that and so everything, why do you need subterfuge and lying and outright using these cloned whatever they are, artificial intelligence agents, to do your work? And they're so goofy, they can't even get your clothes on right.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, we literally have had people dropped off on they went to sleep on the couch, woke up in the bed, or vice versa. Some of them, and this is a case right here in Houston, the lady woke up on the outside of her house. She was switched on, so to speak, outside of her house. You say, well, she sleptwalked. The only problem with that theory is that it's a double-barrel lock on the door. You have to have keys to get in and out.
And
the keys are inside, and her husband, yeah. She beats on the door. Her husband has to open the door.
A
few days later, her brother comes over, who's also an abductee and an engineer, and who hates this whole phenomena. He finds himself in the neighbor's other neighbor's yard. He climbs over fences, beats on her door in the middle of the night so she can get her keys, open the door, and let him in. We even have one guy who's a senior investigator, Dale Musser, with a witness. They end up dropped off in the wrong state, truck and all. And I mean, this stuff just gets weirder and weirder.
Let's get back to, if we can, to the woman who had the baby, the human grasshopper that turned out to look like a normal child, and you question the DNA of the child, the mother, and the father. What happened to that story?
What we're doing with the story right now, because I've got another one right behind it, I think you'll find even more exciting. What we're doing with that one currently is securing three separate DNA testing cases, and those will be sent off to a forensic scientist who's already volunteered to look at our work, and he's very tough. That's where that case is at now. I will be more than happy when we find the results of that out to come back on and
Absolutely.
Tell you specifically what we found.
Can you get a picture of the kid for us? Before and after?
I don't know how many she has, but whatever she has, we'll hopefully find something that will support that
story. I'm trying to picture, Daryl, a human grasshopper-looking kid, and I assume he had human facial features. But maybe he was like, lanky with long arms and skinny, tiny legs like a grasshopper.
I don't know.
Surely he didn't have wings. You know.
That's funny.
but you never know.
Let me tell you a good one. This was incredible. I get a call. I'm in Houston, Texas. I get a call from a surgical nurse in a hospital in Los Angeles, right there where you're at. I fly out to my media consultant's home. Her and her husband are waiting for me, and she handles all my media work. And Jolene Ray Harrington is absolutely brilliant, works with MUFON LA, and mm-hmm. a brilliant, brilliant woman, writer, the whole nine yards, just a wonderful person. And her husband are waiting, and they're just, what is going on? And I said, well, watch this. So picked up the phone, made the call, and what happens is a lady walks into a hospital in the middle of the night and makes the claim that she has been, and she's crying, incoherent, and angered, and she says that she's been artificially inseminated, raped, in other words, by an alien.
Oh, just what they want to hear,
well,
right?
Well, naturally, guess where she's going to go first?
Yeah.
Psych ward. Well, the story gets real interesting. Later, this frightened but savvy surgical nurse, we talk again, and we're getting some information. And finally, I get the actual resident MD there to talk to me on the phone. And needless to say, he is beside himself, upset, and is not comfortable with doing this. And I explained to him, I said, sir, first of all, I want to explain something to you that you already know, but I need to explain to you that I know. First of all, this can't ever get out, who you are and who the patient is. That can never happen. It'll destroy your career. I don't care if it's all true. I don't care if it's all false. It'll ruin you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I will do everything in my power to make sure your name will never, ever be associated. The second thing is the case that you're looking at there is real. And he just flat took me to task at that point and says, how do you know that? And in 60 seconds, I explained the condition of the patient, the exact bruisings, marks, claims, and that the fetus was growing at a rate of 10 to 1.
10 to 1.
And I mean to tell you that you could almost hear his teeth hit the floor. And he gets scared.
10 to 1 in size or 10 to 1 in time?
In time. It's growing that fast. And I said, we have a problem. It's not going to be there for long. You're going to end up with a lady in the psych ward accusing you of stealing an alien baby before it's over if you don't do something. I said, my suggestion is that you let me bring my PhD psychologist, who is trained specifically to deal with this sort of thing, and another psychiatrist who is set some of the standards for the state of California. And I told him who they were.
Yeah.
And he says he would definitely consider it. I said, you need to get this thing off your back and on our backs. This is what I do. I don't care how it looks for me. I don't care if it's weird or conspiratorial. I don't care. I'm the bridge between you and what happens out there. And I said, I know this sounds bizarre, but I'm just doing everything I can to protect you here. I said, at some point, that fetus is going to disappear because they're going to come get it. And when it does, I said, I suspect that lady's going to accuse you and name you as the doctor, like on the front page of the Los Angeles Times.
Yeah, or National Enquirer.
You do not need these problems. So, needless to say, this went on for, I was out there for, I don't know, about 10 days, I guess. And we had numerous calls in between, back and forth, and finally the doctor slips and falls and hurts his back. He gets scared at this point and thinks that maybe they caused this, and he gets paranoid. Long story short is we lost the case simply because we were never given the final information to bring everybody there to take it over, which we wish we could have. But the fact is, that happened in your backyard, so to speak. It's a real case, verifiable. There were numerous witnesses, doctors, nurses, and others, of course.
Whatever happened to the fetus?
I don't know. After they finally cut off communication, because, the doctor got so scared. I mean, he literally was afraid.
Mm. And you've got to assume it's gone.
No question. If it is like the other cases that we've had, it will disappear.
Do these women have memory of the fetus after it's been taken?
I am so glad you asked. I tell you, you are just great at your job.
I'm on my game right now.
You are on your game, I'm telling you. here it goes. A lady came to me in Houston, Texas, and she said, oh, Mr. Sims, I've had this abduction event. And one of those strange dreams, and it must have been hallucinating. It must not be true. And she's just doing everything she can, which many of these abductees do, to dispel the whole idea that they, in fact, made it up. It's not true. It's not real. And so on and so on. And I said, I don't care about all that. I just want to hear the story. Tell me what it is you think happened. She said, well, it's real vivid. I said, just tell me. She said, well, They took me to this. It was like a place where they had these tanks with these little creatures, like baby them, those type people, creatures, in these tanks. There were hundreds of them. And I said, and she said, and then they brought me this one that was alive and it was moving like a little one of them, and they told me I had to hold it, and I said, no, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And she says, you have to. It's going to die if you don't hold the baby. And she said, I I was horrified and repulsed by it. And he said, I finally picked it up and I said, exactly, how did you hold it? She told me the exact position she held it, how she placed it up on her neck, and that one spot, how she held the butt with area with the hand, how she held everything in great detail. And after it was over, and it, when she, here's the important thing. This sounds terrible. At first, when she wouldn't do anything and they told her the baby was going to die, and she said no, she refused again. They finally brought in a little girl that was human.
Or at least looked
in
human.
In ragged clothes.
Yeah.
And she looked at her and she said, I cried and cried and cried. I said, why? She said, it was the exact twin of my little girl.
Oh, God, how cruel can they be?
She says, and I said, well, you know, that probably was just a screen memory or something. She says, no, it wasn't. She says, what do you mean? She said, I had twins and was diagnosed that up until the point of delivery, and one of them disappeared.
They took it.
And she said, 2 days after my, now she comes back later, and because I'm getting a little ahead of the story, then I do an examination with her, and then I find fluorescence on her in the exact place and the exact color scheme that we know that involves that particular part of this phenomenon. And she, when I hit that, take that forensic black light and hit her with it, I'm telling you, and it lights it up, I mean, like a Christmas tree, this woman screams. They act just like rape victims. She runs to the bathroom and starts scrubbing, trying to get this stuff off her neck and off her hands. And it won't come off. And of course, what scares her and what's so upsetting to her is the fact that, you know, all that stuff you just said that wasn't true and you obviously made it up and all that. Why is the fluorescence in the exact locations? It won't wash off. It won't come off. You can't get it off. 2 days later, she comes back and she's a much better shape to talk. And she says, I have to tell you something about what happened the other day. And I said, okay. She said, my little girl came to me. And she said, of course, you know that we don't tell her anything, and especially about us seeing you. And I said, that's good. She said, she told me, she says, what happened to my sister? And she says, Sugar, she said, you don't have a sister. You're the only girl we have. She says, no, I didn't. No, we don't. She says, I have a sister. Looks just like me. I've seen her.
They brought her to
They were picking up the daughter all along.
Yeah.
Anyway, just horrific stuff. And so the fluorescence that we've been using to find these entities and to track them down. I'll tell you something about fluorescence I've never told anybody. It's going to show up in my book. It's an incredible book on this work. And the basis of the fluorescence, to me, the reason I try to get as many fluorescent samples from abductees, it's hard to get because usually the fluorescence will disappear within 24 to 48 hours.
Why are they marking people like that?
Some of the markings are intentional. Some of them are simply, many of the markings are strictly procedural. In other words, they touched you and it's like a sweat.
It rubs off on you.
But here's the important point about it. In my opinion, and it's strictly an opinion that means that and 50 cents to get you a bad cup of coffee. In my opinion, there's a possibility that what we may be looking at with the fluorescence of these entities is each one of them may have their own signature. In other words, it's their own fingerprint.
Interesting. And you can only see it with a black light?
You will not see it. It's in ultraviolet range. You can only see it with the black light.
You may be the only person testing this way.
Well, I was the one that discovered it in 1992.
So prior to that, all these other alien abduction cases, nobody ever even thought about that.
No, they didn't. In fact, when I went to Brazil with a number of investigators to a huge conference in Brasilia, I spoke there and met the famous Irani Guranci, which is she's referred to as the Grand Dame of ufology in Brazil. She is very famous. She's like the Alan Hynek of UFO work here in the United States. And I met her, and she's a very gracious lady, quite elderly now, and she asked me if I would sit and eat dinner with her and her daughter, and I said I would be honored. And she gave me the most wonderful compliment. She says, what you're doing is what we never knew to do. I said, what do you mean? She says, you're looking and finding evidence. And all we did was record stories.
And that's important. Daryl, stay with us. We're going to continue chatting with you. And we'll open up the phone lines now as well. Fascinating investigator, the alien hunter. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment with Daryl Sims on Coast to Coast AM. His website, alienhunter.org, linked up at coasttocoastam.com.